Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So Kamala Harris will formally accept her party's nomination as presidential candidate at the Democratic National Convention, which gets underway in Chicago today. Prominent party leaders, celebrities and nearly 50,000 people are expected to descend on the Windy City. But the event is also expected to draw large protests against US support for Israel in the Gaza war. Speaking at a rally in Pennsylvania this weekend, the vice president told crowds she wanted to stand for working people.
This campaign for us is really born out of love of country. We all here, we love our country. And we know our country is going to be as strong as our willingness to fight for it and to fight for what we stand for. You know, when you know what you stand for, you know what to fight for. When you stand for working people, you fight for working people. When you stand for freedom, whether it be to make decisions about your own body or love who you love, you fight for those things. When you believe in ending child poverty, you fight for that. When you believe in what we need to do to lift up the middle class, you fight for the middle class. These are the things we stand for, and these, therefore, are the things we fight for.
Well, speaking at his own rally, President Donald Trump warned against the country veering towards socialism.
We're being led into socialism, but the socialism will be short-lived. It's going into communism. If you would have told me, and if you remember many times during State of the Union, I would say, we will never have a socialist country, and everybody would applaud. But I was right, because we're really, I think, skipping socialism. We're going into communism. When they weaponize our government like this, that's what they do in third world countries. That's what they do in South American horror shows. They've weaponized it, but I believe ours is even more corrupt.
Well, let's talk about all of this now. I'm joined by John Zogby, US pollster, Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway, and TJ Malloy from Democrats Abroad Ireland. And let's start with the polls. John Zogby, we've been hearing how Kamala Harris has transformed the race. Is that still being borne out in those polls?
Yes, she's very much still in her honeymoon period and will continue at least through this week. With her convention, candidates normally get a bump of some sort. The important thing to understand is that she is now performing sufficiently among certain key elements of the winning Democratic coalition where Joe Biden had been underperforming. So, for example, among Black voters, Joe Biden had been polling just into the 60 percentile among Blacks. She's now polling upwards of 80% in a recent New York Times poll. She's not where she needs to be just yet, but it's a pretty significant improvement over when Biden was in the race.
And in the battleground states, John, how are they currently looking for both candidates? Because they had been pretty much tied up to now. Does that remain the status quo?
It's a competitive race in those battleground states, but you now see the lead in most of those states tipped over to Kamala Harris. So in Arizona, for example, she leads by 5 percentage points. She's leading in Wisconsin and very competitive where the Democrats had not been in Georgia and North Carolina. So at this point, she's had a pretty decent ride. And as I said, we'll continue this week. But we'll be at equilibrium by the end of the month.
Mm-hmm. Like you did mention that this is still the honeymoon period for Kamala Harris. She hasn't done a press interview yet, despite all of the pressure coming from journalists. I think the most she did was a 70-second doorstep. So could the convention change things for her? And if she decides or not to do an interview, that also might have an impact on how these polls are looking for the Democrats.
Well, it won't generate good press for her. Right now, she's still getting loving press. But, you know, in terms of you know, the rest of what you outlined, you know, she can expect a bumpy ride from here. You know, at the same time that she's been having her honeymoon, let's say that Donald Trump has been experiencing doldrums. He was prepared to run against Joe Biden, against Sleepy Joe, against Crooked Joe. And this pulled the rug out from under him. And he's still trying to find that right message that will connect voters and turn against her. And it's safe to say he hasn't quite found that yet. And he is the one now who is acting a bit stale. So she's experiencing an up period, but he's experiencing a down period.
Mm-hmm. So it would be very interesting to see, once we get through this week, the Democratic National Convention, where, as you say, there will be probably a little bump for Kamala Harris because of all of the attention being focused on the party. But after that, you say, that's when things might change.
That's to the degree that tradition still operates in our world. Traditionally, things begin Labor Day. That's the first Monday of September. The race is really enjoined then. And that's when we fully suspect that both candidates will have honed their messages. And then, you know, the news conferences will take place and Kamala Harris will participate, of course, and will try to avoid bad press. Then, of course, they're debating September 10th, and that will be a heavily watched debate.
It sure will. All to play for, John. Thank you very much, John Zogby there, who is a pollster. Let's go to Larry Donnelly now, law lecturer at the University of Galway. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, at the convention, it's all about Kamala on Thursday, but today it's Joe Biden's day. How do you expect he will be greeted at the convention? Because it's more or less a farewell speech he's giving, isn't it?
Yes, and I think he'll get a rapturous welcome from the delegates this evening. I think that he'll be thanked for his lifetime in public service, and I think he'll give a speech. And I think the speech will probably focus maybe a little bit of a look back, but I think what he's going to do is give a full-throated endorsement to the Harris-Waltz ticket. And I would expect that a big theme of this week, and I think he'll kick it off this evening, is we can't go back. We can't go back and have a second Trump presidency, one in which he would be untethered to any sort of electoral or political realities. He would be able to do what he wants. He'd be surrounded by sycophants. I expect that to be a big theme. And again, a glowing endorsement for the Harris-Waltz ticket.
Can't be easy for Joe Biden today, though. I mean, he'll have to, in one way or another, acknowledge that because he stepped back, the Democrats have now risen in the polls as a result.
Yeah, no, he's very much going to be trying to put a good face on what was not an easy situation. And one thing is for sure, the likes of Nancy Pelosi, the Obamas, et cetera, within the party, they won't be getting Christmas cards from Joe Biden anytime soon, because they very carefully orchestrated his withdrawal from the race. And I have no doubt but that he is still deeply personally embittered, not only that he had to step aside, but the fashion in which it was done. So I don't think on the inside, I don't think he's happy, but he certainly will put a glowing face on it this evening.
But you know, it's interesting. It doesn't seem to have caused any divisions within the Democratic Party. I mean, I remember us having a conversation a little while ago about how many people support Joe Biden within the party. But they've all seemed to settle down and got behind Kamala Harris, despite the fact that he may see it as a complete sellout when it comes to what Nancy Pelosi did, to a certain extent, the Obamas. Doesn't seem to have caused many problems, though, does it?
No, and I think there's one single reason for that, and that is that deep down, the Democrats knew that Joe Biden had was past it, to be blunt about it, that he was not the best person that they could put up against Donald Trump. And they, if anything unites them, Democratic Party, it is a fear of what a second Trump presidency could bring, both for the United States and for the world. And what you say about the coalescing behind Kamala Harris is absolutely extraordinary, as is the honeymoon period she's had. John Zogby says it's been a good period. I'd go beyond that. I'd say it's been a phenomenal period. And a lot of us who had doubts about her capacity as a politician have been really surprised by everything that's happened to date. But also, as John says, she is going to be tested very, very soon like she never has been before. And this really is down to her. Her own fate lies in her own hands. How will she rise to the occasion? And can she prove the critics, those people who say she's a lightweight, et cetera, can she prove those critics and doubters wrong? That is going to be one of the big questions that we'll have answers to in the next month or so.
All right, Larry, stay with us. TJ Molloy is with us too from Democrats Abroad Ireland. TJ, good morning to you.
Morning, Claire.
So there is this positive energy behind Kamala Harris and her running mate, Tim Walz, but a bit of nervousness around how the convention might go, what might happen after that too. I mean, would you agree that there's a pressure on both nominees now to deliver, to live up to that promise of the last few weeks? And as Larry says, she's going to be tested like never before once this convention is done.
Yeah, the whole thing, the Irish media and UK media seems to be, you know, focusing in on, and Fox News, that she hasn't given an interview. We're going to get plenty of interviews with Kamala Harris in the coming month. We're going to get the 60-minute sit-down interview with her husband, just as we've seen with Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and Michelle. This has happened. This is following the timeline of most elections as far as media interaction. We have a unified party. We're probably going to have a few protests around Chicago, I think very much more modest than we would have expected. And as Kamala Harris said herself, when it comes to some of the things dividing the party, when she had protesters over the Gaza situation, if you want Donald Trump to be elected, just say so. Because the only hope for peace with it brokered by the U.S. is with the Democratic administration. Mm-hmm. We all know that. Trump is going to give carte blanche to Benjamin Netanyahu, and things could escalate quite quickly. The only rational people in this in an administration will be Democrats.
So you don't think that she has been avoiding giving interviews? Because that is the accusation that has been leveled against her, that she hasn't wanted to, or the people around her haven't wanted her to sit down and do an interview with a journalist.
Yeah. She's out on the stump doing 6 or 8 cities a week. I mean, she's going to sit down and do an interview. She's going to do multiple interviews as soon as the convention is over. They're going to go out for a week after the convention to ride the wave of good press. And then after that, like I said, we've all seen it. We all remember the images of Hillary and Bill sitting down at 60 Minutes and then sitting down with multiple news outlets and just like Barack, this is no more than Donald Trump. I mean, the schedule is get through your convention and then he starts hitting the media. Mm-hmm. So that'll be about 2 weeks' time, okay, and then coming up around Labor Day and thereafter.
Larry, what do you think of that? That this is normal, that a nominee doesn't do the interviews until they get through the convention, and then they plan them all and they'll do numerous interviews. This criticism really is not fair, and she will sit down and do those interviews and they will be absolutely fine, and we'll all see that in a couple of weeks' time.
See, I disagree on that point because, yes, as CJ says, that would be the normal course of business. However, Kamala Harris's rise to be the Democratic nominee for president is anything but normal. It's totally unprecedented in the modern political era. In my view, then, it would have been incumbent upon her to do interviews, to do the sort of things that perhaps wouldn't ordinarily occur in the election cycle. And again, people are starting to draw inferences from her unwillingness to do so. So I think she should. And again, as John Zogby said, she has gotten very, very favorable media coverage. But that will sour very quickly unless she gives journalists some genuine copy, unless she sits down and is willing to be subjected to rigorous cross-examination of who she is, of what her policies are, of how she tries to define herself. So, again, as CJ says, it will happen, but I think doubts are being raised in certain quarters as to why it hasn't happened already.
TJ?
Yeah, we just have to remember 22 days ago, Joe Biden was still a nominee. So, we've got a new vice presidential nominee, obviously. I mean, we're really splitting hairs here over interviews. These are Fox News talking points. I mean, she's going to give interviews. She's been on the road for 2 weeks. She's been the nominee for 21 days. I mean, we got to cut her a little slack. It is unprecedented campaign because she's been the nominee for 3 weeks. We've never had a nominee coming in, mm-hmm. you know.
So listen, one of the big issues that she will face is on inflation and the Democrats' record on inflation, TJ. And her economic plan has been met with some criticism. I mean, she's pledged to ban price gouging, offer new tax relief for families and home buyers. There's also some movement on tips for people in hospitality, something that Donald Trump says that he suggested first. So how is she going to manage that? How is she going to say, I'm going to fix inflation, when many people hold the Democrats responsible for its rise?
Well, it wasn't the Democrats' fault. It was a pandemic era. And then core inflation is currently running at 1.6%. So as the months go by, the last 3 months, we're running at well under 2%, which is the Fed target. We have a great story to tell there that we were able to fix the economy in the post-pandemic era. I don't think she has a problem there. Her proposals for helping people with down payments on a house, $25,000, very similar to the Help to Buy scheme in Ireland that people would recognize. These are getting on the housing matters become increasingly hard. There's no arguing that with higher interest rates, which are coming down. These are very good, solid middle-class proposals, bread and butter issues that are going to speak to the American electorate. And the story is only getting better on inflation. It's a good story already. I mean, Biden has dipped in the mud better than almost every Western economy in the world.
All right,
and like I said, it's running at under 2% now. So
okay, well, it's going to be a very interesting week. Let's see how it all plays out. Thank you both. That's Larry Donnelly, and we were also joined by TJ Molloy and earlier John Zogby. Now, we've heard that Hurricane Ernesto might be heading our way, but what will it look like when it reaches Ireland? Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.